Thursday's anniversary was a festive day in China. For two brothers there, though, it was a chance to reflect on decades of separation. One of them, conceived in China and born in Taiwan, found a life of opportunity in America. The other was left behind as a toddler, only to survive years of hardship and political turmoil. Years later, they reunited, and Irene J. Liu, a reporter who works in Albany, New York, traveled back to China to hear their reflections.
My father is one of the two brothers in this story. He turned 60 this year, and through a combination of flawed birth records and confusion over the lunar and Western calendars, we only recently discovered that he was born on October 1st, 1949, the same day that Mao Zedong stood at the Gate of Heavenly Peace in Tiananmen Square and declared the People's Republic of China. China's turbulent history tore apart and reconciled my family within the span of one lifetime, my father's lifetime. It was 1949, and the nationalists were losing the civil war against the communists.
But for China, the bitter internal strife went on, with communist armies gaining ever greater strength in their drive to the south.
Both of my grandfathers were in the Nationalist Air Force under General Chiang Kai-shek, and they fled to Taiwan as the communists took over the mainland. My father was born soon after their escape to Taiwan. His brother, my eldest uncle, Liu Zin, was only three when he was left behind. Our hometown of Jiangying was a strategic site that fell to the communists before my grandfather could retrieve him. My uncle lived a difficult life growing up in communist China, but as he recounted those years to me recently, over two abundant meals, cups of tea, and roasted chestnuts, he downplayed his own suffering. Life was hard for everyone then, my uncle said. If anything, his family got off easier than others, he said, because they were not very good targets for persecution. The only ones left behind were my uncle, who was only a toddler, a deaf relative, and his widowed grandmother, who was physically limited by her bound feet. My uncle was a good student, but only finished middle school because he was too poor to continue his education, and at 15 became a government cook to support the family. Denied any real opportunity, he subsisted through the Great Leap Forward when millions died of starvation, and watched as family members were persecuted in the streets during the Cultural Revolution. The world was upside down during those years, my uncle said. Black was white, white was black. Right was wrong, wrong was right. As my uncle suffered through those turbulent years in China, his brother, my father Paul, had a poor but stable childhood in Taiwan.
Even my childhood is not rich in material, but we never really went through the starvation or the hard life like my brother had. In a way, compared to my brother, you know, I have very smooth sailing life.
My father went to the United States for graduate school and ultimately settled in St. Louis. In the early 90s, Monsanto Chemical sent him to negotiate the company's first joint venture in China. And a few years later, we moved to Shanghai, just 2 hours away from my uncle. The two brothers' lives are still very disparate. My uncle lives in a modest house outside of Jiangying with his wife and his son's family. In the 1980s, he took advantage of China's opening economy to build up a scrap metal recycling business. During my visit, he proudly showed me the construction site of his new factory. Meanwhile, my father works out of a skyscraper in downtown Shanghai and lives with my mother in an expatriate complex on the outskirts of the city.
When I compare to my brother, the quality of life is much, much better than his. But he has no resentment, and he's just as happy of his own life because he looked at how he grew up, how he struggled through the difficult life, and what he has today. Actually, he's quite proud of himself.
Looking ahead, both my father and my uncle are very optimistic about China's future and their place in it.
This is my roots in my family history. So I went to a full circle in 60 years, you know, back to where I was supposed to be, to celebrate China's 60 years together with my own personal 60 years birthday. It's quite a special day.
Reporting in Shanghai for NPR News, I'm Irene J. Liu.
Taiwan played a central role for those two brothers, but relations between Taipei and Beijing are still tenuous at best. China claims ownership of the island, but Taiwan maintains self-rule. This coming week, though, the two will engage in a little museum diplomacy. On Wednesday, for the first time ever, Taiwan's National Palace Museum opens a joint exhibition with the Palace Museum of Beijing. 60 years ago, during the Civil War, under orders from Chiang Kai-shek, Chinese nationalists seized 600,000 antiquities from Beijing's Forbidden City, something that mainlanders still seethe over. But now, that long Cold War seems to be thawing. Beijing will lend 18th-century relics to the Taiwan Museum, items from the reign of Emperor Yongzheng. On display, 37 pieces, including a huge portrait of the emperor and an imperial stone seal with a simple but concise inscription. It reads, "Being an emperor is difficult."